What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, I've already gotten a ton of feedback here from some Little League parents. Thank you for that. Our pal Scott Lewis sent me a form. Somebody else is emailing me a form to use. Now, somebody asked me, hey, man, just do an Excel spreadsheet. I'm 49 years old. I have never once opened Excel. I want to keep it that way until the day I die. I never want to open. It's kind of like a lot of people want to run a marathon, a triathlon or something. Not me. I want to get through life without doing that. Opening Excel. What's happening? You guys are looking at each other.
Paulie needs to answer the phone quickly. It's fine. Just give him 1 second here. yes. I mean, you're acting like you should be able to play Bo just because he's so good.
No,
like,
I'm not. Here's the thing. Jocelyn said, you can't just put your kid at the premier position. He's a really good infielder.
I know. It's not that he doesn't deserve it, but at this level, you have to be fair and give. How is someone who is not as good ever going to get a chance to play shortstop and get better if the
practice,
if the coach's
like
son is always there?
Practice, though, like Bo does, or have their dad coach.
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Right?
I am skeptical.
What happened? What's happening? What's happening?
I don't know what's happening.
What is going on right now?
I don't know.
You guys are keeping a secret. Who just called?
He's still on the phone, so that's fine. I was
all right, he didn't want to go on the air.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, so I don't even know if I should say his name, but a former Padres pitcher is listening.
What'd he say?
And he calls in and he goes, oh my God, dude, I dropped the kids off at school. I got you guys on. And tell Woodsy, he's like, I know exactly what he's going through.
I'm in hell with this.
He's like, there's a website that I use. It's called freebaseballlineups.com. He goes, now it's not free, but I swear it helps. You got to check it out. Why it's called freebaseballlineups.com if it's not free, I don't know.
Well, you know I'll pay. But I don't care. What's one more subscription?
I literally told him, I was like, don't have to worry about that. That won't be a problem. So thank you for being a tier one.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if he wants to
turn the mics off.
I'll say it. No. I mean, I won't say his name. I'll just say he makes a heck of a French bread frozen pizza. Let's just say that. You can figure it out from there.
Oh, okay. I got it. Kind of. I'm so nervous about this on Sunday, man. I am so, so nervous. Holy cow.
All right. Do we have our guest?
We're still waiting on Jake.
So he could, as Paul said, have some thoughts on this as well, because he's coached a lot of Little League there in Harlem, as he's done.
Yeah, dude,
really cool.
He does. It's just an interesting, again, like, this is just goes to show you how much the game has changed, really, and how much I think I have had kids on my team that struggled. I don't want to see them struggle. It's my job to make them better. Is putting them in a position to, like, there was one kid, I put him at pitcher, and they don't pitch yet. But that's where most of the balls come. Ball hit him in the throat. Ball hit him in the nuts. Didn't make the throws. And I was like, this is not good for him. I just need to work more with him, or his dad needs to work more with him. So it's not about me playing Bo for 6 innings at short. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to do that. I never have. Never did that in T-ball. But it is about – I think it's important, is it not, for the kids to know, like, if I put you in center field, be a center fielder for a game, right? Like, be a center fielder. See how you respond. We have multiple games where I can try you at third. I can try you at short. And I realize they're 6 and 7 years old, and there's plenty of time for that. But I think the quicker the kids can learn it, the better. Not everybody's a third baseman or a first baseman. I have so many kids that want to play first, and I will literally tell them, you can't catch. You have to be able to catch to play
first.
Well,
I think the guys who are not as – the kids who are not as advanced, well, you'll probably, when they get them to the infield, you get them at second, or third for an inning or two, and they'll play more in the outfield. I mean, you can still put your better players at short and pitcher and first for more of the time, even if you're rotating them between the infield and the outfield.
Bo loves outfield, so he's not going to have any problem playing right. Center. You know why? Because it's Jackson Merrill.
Well, he will just because there won't be a lot of balls to get out there.
There'll
right?
be almost none.
Yeah. Like, so that's going to be the frustrating part. He'll go, oh, I'm ready to go. And it's like, you sit out there in the outfield, and sometimes the ball will never come to you.
Ralph is right. He said there's an element of safety coaches have to put first. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So I just think, you know, being able to move kids around at my own and not worry, oh, he played three innings at first instead of two. And Scott Lewis said, don't worry, dude. If you screw up, they will call you out on it. There are those that I would be the dad that would not. I don't care. I don't care what you do. Don't steal signs and be goofy and things like that. But, you know, like let's teach them playing positions is important. Paying attention is important. All of that. So whatever.
That was an insane list of expectations though, for coaches to have to keep track of every single game.
Mike says Woods expecting Jackson Merrill out of 6 and 7. No, my kid likes Jackson Merrill and he likes playing the outfield because of Jackson Merrill. I do think there's something cool. Have I lost the plot here? When I was a kid and my coach
was different when we were kids.
Well, hold on. But when I knew like, hey man, I play third. I was a third base. I was cool.
Correct.
I had to do my job.
I mean, do you remember 6 and 7? You're thinking
I didn't start
maybe
playing until I was 10.
Yeah, you're thinking a little bit later. Now, when you get 11 to 12, you're going to have more regular positions and stuff. But you're still at the 6 and 7 level. Mm. Everyone plays all over the place at that point.
Mm. Ready?
I am ready. Yes.
Ready.
Is the married guy ready?
Married
congratulations.
Guy ready.
2 weeks ago, he was just about to get married. He had a saxophone with him. He was going to play it at the wedding. I'm dying to know how that went. And we are joined right now by Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Our weekly segments brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue. Jake, Mr. Mintz. Well, you were always Mr. Mintz. Now there's a Mrs. Mintz. How are you?
I'm good. I'm married.
You are.
Congratulations, and buddy.
You wearing your wedding ring right now?
Pretty great. Being married, like being married. No notes on it. 10 out of 10.
So you did the saxophone. Now, we talked to Jordan last week. Ben was out, so he doesn't know this.
Correct.
But the saxophone that you played, Sweet Virginia from the Stones, I believe, was the song. Jordan said it went really well. Could you confirm?
It went well enough, yeah. I mean, pulling out a surprise saxophone when everyone believes you don't play the saxophone, it doesn't really matter how you play the saxophone. It's what I learned. But yeah, it was a hit. It turns out getting married is freaking fun, dude. Is really what I'll say.
My anniversary is on Sunday. 7 years.
Would you like him to play the saxophone?
I would like you to play. I would like you to play the saxophone.
Okay, sure. Whatever you need.
Okay, good.
All right, let's start with Shohei Ohtani just to get it out of the way. Because
we've already done it. We already did it.
Whoa. Well,
we already did it.
We did it. But I feel like Jake needs to say his piece. It was an historic achievement, no doubt about it. It's getting maybe an insane amount of hype, but maybe he deserves it. I mean, you know, it's been an incredible season for Shohei Ohtani. What more should we have to say about this, Jake?
That's it.
It is important, as we, people who evaluate sports, it's important for us to hold multiple thoughts in our head at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. It is easier than ever to go 50-50. It is still outrageously impressive to do it. Both of those things are true.
Sure.
And Ohtani, who, by the way, I believe the most bases he ever stole in Japan was 7. Okay.
26 for the Angels, I think. But yeah, like that wasn't a huge part of his game.
No. And now he's just like, oh, I'm bored. I have all this free time because I'm not pitching. I'm just going to steal bases. It was amazing for him to do it in Miami, where he had the other greatest moment of his career. And the WBC was great. Other underrated superstar from yesterday, Skip, just going after Ohtani. I'm sure you talked about that already. Pro move, not dodging greatness. You run out of things to say about Shohei. I understand that people in San Diego are probably tired of it. But, like, you know, I see a lot of tweets that are like, MLB is tweeting too much about Shohei. Like,
I was one of them. They are. 22 tweets in 19 hours.
Instagram posts.
I'm Instagram.
No,
that's
wrong.
It's too much.
You're not the audience, dude.
Richard Ramirez did not stalk as bad as MLB does. That is, it's stalker behavior. 22 is too much.
It is the correct decision to make. You are utterly wrong about this. If Shohei Ohtani wore brown and gold, you would be talking about how they don't tweet about him enough.
No, you're incorrect. Not.
He is generational. He is singular. He deserves all of these plaudits and all of the attention and more. He is crossing over into the larger sports world in a way that no other player, even Aaron Judge, can.
All right.
And every tweet that MLB sends out is not to placate people living further south.
All right, I'm sorry I brought it up again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we all are.
Let's move on. Let's ask about something else,
I have
please.
No idea now. I'm all spun out about this Little
League
thing.
Let's go back to Little League talk.
Yeah, we can do Little League talk.
All right, let's go back to Little League talk.
Jake, you still coaching your team in the Bronx?
Oh, yeah.
What age group?
I'm not coaching this fall because I got married. But I'm thinking about coaching Little League all the time.
What age group?
I've coached from 6 to 12, right. So anywhere in there.
I'm starting a Pinto this weekend with my son, Machine Pitch, and they laid some rules on me that it's like the Constitution. It's like trying to follow the Constitution of rotation of players, and no player can play more than blah, blah, blah. I've had a couple people send some, you know, apps and things that they use. Former Padres pitcher called in with an app that he uses. It's a lot, man, trying to keep the game fair. And make sure that everybody gets a turn at different positions. What were your struggles like with that? Because it's killing me.
So it's tough. Because on one hand, it's 7 years old, 8 years old?
Six and seven.
Six and seven. The goal at that point is to ensure that everyone has a good time. Like, yes, that is it.
That's
right?
Always what and I want to do.
That's literally the entire point of Little League Baseball. However, part of making sure kids have a good time is that the kids who are more skilled are having the opportunity to develop. That's part of them having a good time, right? And making sure that they have opportunities. At that age, outfield is a pointless endeavor. It's
yes.
Sash.
Yes.
It's just straight up run and chase.
Standing there.
Yeah. There are like three important positions. Whoever stands next to the machine, okay, most important position.
Yes.
First base.
Yep.
And then shortstop. Those are the three that matter, really. And so I would just not stress at all. Like, none of it matters remotely. As you get more competitive, things change. And honestly, when they turn 11, outfield gets really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And whichever 100%. Kid figures out when outfield gets cool, they're the ones who are having a really good time.
Yeah, my son's 6 and loved playing infield and now wants to play in the outfield because of Jackson Merrill. And wants number 3 because of Jackson Merrill. Jackson That's Merrill great. Has made it cool to play outfield.
That is great and also hilarious that Fernando Tatis did not make it cool to play outfield first.
Right. Like he was too little to really, really grasp it. And just he looks at Jackson Merrill and is like, he loves all the players. He's he loves them all.
What's great is your kid's gonna spend like 10 minutes in the outfield and be like, I am
bored. This is terrible. This is terrible. Well, the races are certainly heated up. Couple of teams have clinched. I will say very impressed by what the Milwaukee Brewers did this year. Very impressed by the Cleveland Guardians as well. The Dodgers have clinched. That was a foregone conclusion, certainly, but I know it's going to get pretty tight in a couple of races down to the wire. The Twins and Tigers thing is really fascinating to me.
The Tigers kind of snuck up on everybody. And if you go look at their roster, it's a lot of relatively anonymous players. And part of that is because they're super young. None of their position players have really more than 3 years of service time, which is remarkable considering how well they've played. And they really have two starting pitchers, Keider Montero and Tarik Skubal, who's going to win the Cy Young. Everyone else is like an opener and a bulk guy and bullpen hodgepodge. But remember who the manager of the Detroit Tigers is. A.J. Hinch, who led all those Astros teams back in the day. Yeah. That is a man who knows what he is doing. He knows the job. He knows how to win baseball games. And they've cut the gap down to zero. I mean, they're tied right now heading into the penultimate weekend of the season. The Twins have the tiebreaker over the Tigers. So if they finish tied, Minnesota does get in. But the Tigers are a fascinating team to watch right now. And I think that we all deserve to give the AL Central an apology. They were the butt of many jokes for being the worst division in baseball. And they have 4 teams either in the postseason or in the mix with a week and a half to go.
Tigers also have something in common with the San Diego Padres, Jake, and that is 3 remaining games against the Chicago White Sox. And the Padres get them.
What a gift.
Padres get him this weekend. Now, we're a little worried about it. The White Sox are on the cusp of history. If the Padres sweep them, they will tie the Mets for most losses all time. And there will probably be some attention on that. So how should we approach this? We talked about it yesterday in our roundtable. Like, you can never insist on a sweep, yet at the same time, for the first time in my life, I feel like I want to insist on a sweep from my baseball team.
Insisting on a sweep is unfair. However, the experience of watching your team play the White Sox is like so. At first, you worry. And you visualize the embarrassment of losing to the White Sox, right? And the White Sox might put some runners on early. They might work through the top of your lineup in the first or the second. But in the end, their inability to play the game of baseball well usually wins out, or loses out, rather. And the sheer lack of quality on the field is so overwhelming that your team eventually usually just wins the baseball game. And the worries evaporate. You will have a moment in watching the Chicago White Sox closely where you will go, wow, they are really bad. And then you will go, oh, yeah. That's why they have 117 losses.
I get it, but I mean, they all got to the big leagues at some point.
Sure,
I mean,
they're big leaguers, man.
I just don't understand how they could be that bad. They all got to the big leagues. They're big league baseball players. What happened?
Yes, but they're all the starters are bench players on competent teams, and the bench players are AAA players.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then in the rotation, that's really, to me, the major thing is the rotation. Because it's like you're just out of games right away. You know, you've probably bought, like, you remember when Adam Mazur was doing his best?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it just, you would feel like the game was over.
But we won a couple of those games. We did. I mean.
Yeah. Better example right now is what's going on with Taiwan Walker in Philly. Like, he starts a game and they're down 6-1 in the third, and there's just no point in playing the rest of it. Really. And for the White Sox, that's like 4 out of 5 days is like that. Okay. And so everyone just gets down and downtrodden, and it's just a bummer almost immediately.
All right. Well, I think you made me feel a little bit better about this weekend, Jake. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Congratulations on the wedding. And I think the next time we talk to you will likely be a postseason baseball. So looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm just going to say, too many people are picking the Padres right
now. I know. I hate it, too. I just want it under the radar, bro. I want it under the radar.
They need to lose the game to the White Sox, I think, is the best thing for
them. To get people off the scent, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get people off the trail.
I'm with you, too. I saw who I love, Trevor Plouffe, was like, I'm like, shut up. Just shut up, dude. No big moves. No videos, no raps. That's all I'm asking for from our fan base. But thank you, buddy.
Jake Mintz, Cespedes Family Barbecue, Yahoo Sports, and their weekly segment brought to you by our friends at Granville Barbecue. Check him out today in North Park, Flint Springs, and at the ballpark. Last chance this weekend, regular season brisket at Granville Barbecue.
Oh, it sounds
just go get it early before the lines get too big.
Well, I'm going tonight. I might.
Are you going tonight?
Yeah, I am going tonight.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I am. Excited.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yes, Musgrove? Joe Musgrove. Yes, our starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I can't lie. Yeah, I'm going tonight, and I was thinking about going Sunday, but I don't think I can. Because I have to coach.
And spend hours and hours prepping, apparently, for it.
A lot of rules.
All right, we still have Mike Schilt, our manager's report, coming up at 9 o'clock. Ronald report as well. Haven't gotten into Thursday night football last night. All ahead after a check of traffic with Bennett Woods at 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody watch some Thursday Night Football last night?
I watched a little bit.
I did.
Turned on
my Prime on my phone and caught. I did have a Breece Hall on my fantasy football team, so he had a touchdown. At least got some points. He got a lead over Scraby. But the narrative last night, and I think it was pretty accurate, was Aaron Rodgers looked pretty prime Aaron Rodgers-ish.
Yeah. I saw
very
him,
accurate.
And I saw him pull one down and run for a first down.
Could still move it. For 40 years old,
yeah,
I mean,
dude, pretty athletic. Know,
not considering myself an Aaron Rodgers fan. But now, if you're a Jets fan, I think you were very encouraged by last night's performance.
Did Robert Saleh, was he under the pressure of getting the backup quarterback in to get some reps as well? Make sure he gets his taste as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's nah,
he's just free
professional
to.
Level.
He's free to run his team as
I
he chooses.
I did have a Robert Saleh
cool
story
that?
For you, though, and I think it applies to me. So after the first touchdown last night, Aaron Rodgers goes over to Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets.
This is great.
And it looks like for some reason, like Aaron Rodgers gave him like a shove away.
He
like,
went for a hug, and Rodgers was like, "Nope."
Yeah, and then he went for kind of a hand. Slap shake, and then he kind of started to go in for the hug, and Aaron just gave him the stiff arm, essentially. Two hands, stiff arm, we don't need to hug. And everyone started speculating, is there something going on between these two? Is there an inner feud that has not been reported between Aaron Rodgers and the coach of the Jets? Now, there shouldn't be. Robert Saleh has bent over backwards for
literally
the entire time Aaron Rodgers has been on the Jets to not say a single thing, despite all the off-the-field stuff, the injury, whatever. Robert Saleh has been Mr. I'm Aaron Rodgers' biggest fan for the entire time. So there shouldn't be a feud. So when asked about it after the game, Aaron Rodgers simply said of Robert Saleh, he's not a big hugger. And I think he was trying to like make his coach feel comfortable, like, you don't have to hug me. I know that in now 2024, you know, modern guys, what they're supposed to do when they're celebrating is a big hug. But like Robert Saleh, I'm also not a hugger. And it becomes awkward when someone comes in for a hug. And I will do it, but it's not my natural move. And obviously, it's not Robert Saleh's natural move either. Is that okay?
Aaron Rodgers' natural move.
Well, he was trying to force it. He felt like I do, like I would with you. I've got a Woodsy's here. We haven't seen each other in a while. He's going to want a hug. What do I do? How do I go in for a hug when I'm not? I'm an awkward. See, Paulie, he's coming over here.
Come on.
This big one. Big one. Paulie pulls his.
I was so uncomfortable.
Paulie does an ass out hug though. The way the right way.
Do we have to do this again?
The right way to hug. Stand up. Is this
where there is the chair.
You go. No, you get in there.
What? No, yeah. You're gonna pick me up.
Yeah, like that. That's how you do it. You don't need to put your ass out.
I tense up.
You do.
I tense up.
Feels good, man.
And it's not a guy thing either. I also tense up hugging. I'm just not a hugger, really. Ooh. I can hug my wife okay, and that's about it. Not really comfortable hugging anyone else. Love. And I don't know why.
Love a hug. Love a big hug.
I have a problem. But it's good to know that I'm not the only one. That maybe Robert Sala is somewhat Ben-like in that. Just not a great hugging person. I guess I don't know. I guess I'm afraid.
Why are you saying it's Robert Sala that's not a hugger?
That's what Aaron Rodgers said.
It's Aaron, though.
I thought Aaron was the one that pushed him away.
Aaron said he's not a big hugger. And I think it was like, you don't have to do this. Like, I'm not going to make you hug me.
Oh, I see.
That's weird.
Yeah, so he put, no, it's okay. You don't have to hug me. I'm good. Aaron was trying to be helpful to his head coach and by giving him the old stiff arm. Like, no, you don't have to hug me. I know you don't want to do it. Don't do it.
I won't do that to you. I'll make you.
You make me hug. Yeah. You like the uncomfortableness.
It's good for you. It's good for you. Hugs are good. Hugs can heal. Healing hugs. Healing hands and hugs.
I don't know why I can't get comfortable hugging people.
I don't either.
I always overthink it. I don't know, how well do you have to know someone before you go in for a hug?
Not very.
Like, there's so many times,
barely at all.
Someone comes into studio, and Woods gives him a hug, and I give him a handshake. I'm a good handshaker.
The guy I ran into in San Francisco, the one whose mother was sick, and he was taken care of here, we had his wife on for Valentine's Day. Once he told me who they were when he came up to introduce himself, I looked at him, and I go, come here. And I just put my arms around him, gave him a big old hug. I never met that guy before in my life, but it was such a sweet story that I just gave him. I wanted to give him a big hug because I felt like he deserved it. He lost his mom, so I was like, "Get in here." Gave him a big hug. I'm just a hugger, though. It's never gotten me in trouble. I don't think I've ever hugged anyone I wasn't supposed to hug.
You don't think so?
But I'm a hugger. Well, I've never gotten in trouble for it. No one's ever said it makes me uncomfortable, except for you. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I do not care.
Have you hugged Adam?
Yeah, many times. Many
can you
times.
Imagine me and Adam hugging?
Never.
It would never happen. Never. It would just never happen. And you've hugged Adam.
And McKee says, "Woods looks like a good hugger." I'm an elite hugger.
Like, I couldn't imagine Tony Gwynn Jr. or Chris Ello.
I've hugged Tony Gwynn Jr.
You have?
Yeah.
I've never hugged him.
Yeah.
Mike Schilt.
A big hugger.
Have you hugged Mike Schilt?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I will, though.
Again, I can't even imagine that.
I'm going to next time I see him.
Do I have a problem?
Yes.
What is it?
You're shut off, emotionally closed off. That's what you are. We could do an hour on this.
I feel like I have a good emotional connection with both of you.
You do. You do. But I
but it doesn't. It's not physical.
Right.
In the hugging department.
Correct. Do you give your kids hugs?
No.
Oh my God.
I probably don't go 20 minutes without giving one of my kids a hug.
I did when they were little, but now that they're grown.
I still hug my dad. I kiss my dad on the cheek.
Never hug.
Man.
Not my dad and I don't hug.
Joey says, confirm Woodsy's a good hugger. He comes in the dugout on Sundays. I see him. I give him a big hug.
Joey's a good hugger.
Did you ever hug Reggie?
Yeah.
Your dog?
I can hug my dogs. I have a problem.
Yeah. Therapy will help. Try BetterHelp /KWFN. You get 10% off your first.
I don't necessarily feel like it's a major stumbling block in my life. You don't need to hug people.
You do.
I still feel the connection. I feel the love. I don't actually have to feel the love to feel the love.
Okay. I bet your kids would like a hug today. Next time you go see, you walk in and Jack's there, you walk right up to him and you give him a big
hug. We're all big,
it
large
doesn't matter.
Guys. It just feels awkward.
Do you know how happy he's going to be? Here's the thing. No one's ever gotten a hug and gone, oh, that was terrible. I really hated that. From their dad.
I feel like most people who get a hug from me think that was terrible.
No way.
You did a bad job.
I love hugging you. I will always hug you. Go hug your kids today. Everybody listen, go hug your kids.
All right, Paulie's got the Rindle Report when we come back.
Ben, you ever hug your kids? No. Just elite.
So matter of fact.
Elite.
It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fam. So I'm going to ask you, what is this show about, the Ben and Woods program?
What isn't it about?
Well, it's about the pills we take, Little League, and hugging, obviously.
Today, yeah.
Obviously, that's what the show is about. Especially when there was no Padres game yesterday. And no one wants me to talk about Shohei Ohtani anymore. That's clear.
Oh, my
God. That topic's now forbidden and restricted.
Are you going to ask Shilty about
Shohei? I'm not going to ask Shilty about Shohei.
Padres have actually handled him pretty good, knock on wood.
Honestly, only mentioned Ohtani today with Schilt, I think that actually would have been fair and appropriate.
That's fair.
I thought about a question.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I couldn't really come up with, like, what's the question you ask?
Well, the other thing, too, is
like, what do you do with a guy like that on the other side?
If there was a Padres game last night, we wouldn't have done Shohei Ohtani at 6:35. There's just no, we wouldn't have mentioned him until later in the show. Because it was a Padres game, but there wasn't. Last night was a bit of a slow night, certainly, unless you're a Jets fan or a Pats fan, which I am not.
I don't remember them walking Shohei Ohtani intentionally. Padres, yeah, I mean, they faced him a bunch this year. They've gone after him. They've had decent success against him.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody sent me the numbers against it, against the Padres, and it's not great, at all. And I think that was that way with the Angels, too. So, yeah, but, I mean, listen, that can change.
I remember last year, he didn't get a hit in the entire series against the Padres.
That can turn on a dime, certainly.
But the Padres have, you know, have good starting pitching, good bullpen.
Yep.
You know, you're facing the Marlins.
Ready?
Yeah.
Batting 188 with 12 hits, 2 homers, 6 RBI, 9 runs scored in 21 games against the Padres in his career.
That's holding him in check for the most part.
Absolutely.
So you continue to do whatever you've been doing
this
season. Continue that. All right, Paulie's got a round of report. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
For cutting you off there, Paulie.
No problem.
On that, I wanted to make a note. I just saw a Dodger fan tweet. Skip Schumacher is always invited to the carne asada, and I thought to myself, somebody made the point last night on Twitter. You know, Skip. I mean, there. If Dave Roberts doesn't get the job done, what if he's gone and Skip's the new manager, and then it all flips on me? It will no longer be.
Ben, you do a great job.
It'll be Skip saying, Woods, you do a great job.
Yes, it will be.
And I went, oh, no.
Yes, it will be.
Every 3 weeks, Woods will be like, hey, what if we get Skip Schumacher on the show? And Ben will be like, I'll kill you.
I will kill you.
I will murder
How
you.
How dare you? He's the manager of the Dodgers. I think you know that the end. I think you know better, Paulie. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you.
I mean, don't know what's going to happen with the Dodgers, but if they do need a new manager, Skip went a long way yesterday in earning a lot of goodwill from Dodgers fans. Yeah. With his comments and his lip reading. Didn't hurt his chances, if that's something that he indeed is interested
Woods,
in.
Woods, you do a great job. It'll be the worst thing ever. Go ahead, Paulie. Sorry about that.
All righty. We'll start off in college football. I think maybe in our 9 o'clock hour, I think we'll have some time. Benny, do you have a Super Saturday?
I have my Ben Super Saturday lineup for you. Yep.
So we'll look forward to that. I don't know that this game is going to make it into that list, but maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, Texas. They're going to have a change at quarterback this week due to injury. Quinn Ewers is still recovering from an oblique injury. And that means Arch Manning.
Going
to make his first collegiate start for the number one team in the country. They're taking on University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. I don't think they're ranked.
It's a good soft landing spot for Arch Manning, I would think. But still a tremendous amount of pressure, Benny. You know, the highly touted Arch Manning.
You know, he came in and threw the 4 touchdown passes in relief. Yeah. So he's kind of got a little bit under his belt there. But yeah, there's always going to be a lot of attention placed on anyone with a Manning in his name.
100% and getting a start. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I wonder what the line is on that game. But
it is 6'4", 225. Top prospect of his class.
I want to hear if he talks. Now, who's his dad?
He's Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper's son. Is his dad, yes.
I wonder if he talks.
The unsuccessful Manning brother. That's not fair to Cooper.
I heard he was actually really good.
I have heard he's cool and good.
No, I heard he was like a good
quarterback. He's good player, just not his brother.
Eli and Peyton.
Trying to look, see if I can find a line for you here quickly. Texas -44.
Wow. Okay.
5 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That game's on ESPN Plus, right. SEC Network, so it's not even on like
check him out.
I
didn't see him in the last game, so.
All right, moving on to baseball. Sorry, very bizarre injury. We've talked about weird injuries in the past, and man, when it rains, it pours, I guess, for the Miami Marlins organization, because their first-round pick, P.J. Morlando, he had a season-ending injury, and it was reported that he injured himself in a weightlifting competition that the guys were all doing during a rain delay last month. You see it all the time in college baseball, even minor league baseball, sometimes even major league baseball. When there's a rain delay, guys might do a slip and slide on the tarp. They goof around. They have some fun. They're trying to pass the time. And this team decided to have a weightlifting competition down in the weight room, and he injured himself. He's out for the year. He's already starting to swing a bat again, and they say he'll be fine for spring training next year, but his season is over for the first-round draft pick.
Team-organized weightlifting competition. I mean, I think it's probably a bit of a freak injury, right? I mean, they do that stuff a lot.
Yeah, you probably should never be competing and straining yourself when it comes to the weightlifting.
It would be different if they were like, hey, let's go out to the parking lot and recreate the Fast and the Furious with all of our cars as a team organized event. This is weightlifting. You have to lift weights. Let's make it fun. And he got hurt. It's a bummer. And again, like you said, things always bad to worse for the Marlins. 20-4 last night. My God.
I feel like Skip has got 9 games left to worry about it. And then someone else
in the kitchen. The game was
Gabe
on.
Gabe Kapler's problem, man.
Guaranteed.
I wasn't paying attention. The game was on. I heard Ohtani did something again. Right. I kind of peek around the corner to look at the TV, and it was at an angle, so it looked like it was just 4-3 Dodgers over the moved a little bit. There was a glare on the screen. I go, oh, that's just 14-3.
14-3.
Right, I'm good.
I remember the last time we did one of our weightlifting competitions, and I thought to myself, one of us could really, really get hurt. So we should probably nip those in the bud. We actually did some weightlifting up there. You can see.
I don't know how much of a competition it was.
No, it's more like a fun afternoon.
All right. Then finally, I'm not sure if this was a good idea or a bad idea or not, but Thursday Night Football last night, I believe this was after the game. I only watched a little bit of the first quarter. But on Amazon Prime, they got their studio crew there, Richard Sherman. Is it Carissa Thompson, I think, is part of it. And they have their whole crew, and they have a new segment called Late Hits with Nikki Glaser.
Okay.
I love Nikki Glaser. Yeah. I think she's very funny. We've had her on the show before.
She
really rose to, like, damn near superstardom earlier this year. She killed it at the roast of Tom Brady. And so, clearly, Amazon is trying to capitalize off of that momentum, and they brought her on to do quick hits around the league, talking about the game that was just played. And she definitely, I don't know if this was intended, but she definitely took it as if it were a roast.
Yes, Nikki Glaser, when you hire her or ask her to come on, I don't think you're not bringing her on to analyze
right.
Ramondre Stevenson's poor outing last night, the fumble.
And she's not like Jeff Ross, where like they're only known for the roast. Well, she's had several
stand-up
specials.
But yeah, but she's a roast.
She's a great roaster.
She took it on as a roast.
A lot of people are probably expecting me to get up here and just like roast everyone, but this isn't a roast. Like, you guys didn't sign up for this, so I'm definitely not gonna say that Richard Sherman looks like Busta Rhymes on Ozempic. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna say that Andrew Whitworth. I'm not gonna say that Andrew Whitworth looks like Men's Warehouse Shrek, or
I like that one,
or that Tony Gonzalez looks like who my mom thinks about during one of her long baths. Tony, I do like your vibe though. You look like a genie you can only summon by rubbing the crotch of a sensible Talbot's pantsuit. But I'm not going to say any of that, because really, I am so honored to be here tonight with all of these NFL legends and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or, as your teammates called you, Sacked Galifianakis. So,
Sacked Galifianakis. It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Wasn't bad.
That's tough, man. That's tough company there. Like, to go in there with all those football players and drop the hammer on them all.
Yeah.
Ooh, God.
So, she was on there for several minutes. I didn't want to play the whole thing, but talked about
Sacked Galifianakis. Really good.
It's pretty good.
He does look good. Kind of like with the beard.
Oh, big time.
Zach Galifianakis.
That's great.
And I did see that there's at least four more of those appearances from Nikki Glaser scheduled throughout Thursday Night Football the rest of the year.
It's always tough. Lisa just said they did not find it funny at all. Yeah, man. Like, when you're like, guys, if I'm the boss.
Are you supposed to find a roast of yourself funny?
Yes, 100%.
Really? Or at least everybody else is.
Yes. You're supposed to be able to wear it. But, like, when you make fun of me, I'm okay with it, but I never find it extremely funny.
But I do.
Well, Paulie does.
You do. That's
no, so I'm saying, if she's roasting Tony Gonzalez,
the other guy should be funny. And they just sat there.
Play it up a little bit. Like, at least pretend.
Okay.
Yeah, you got...
The jokes were fine.
When you roast me, I think it's hysterical.
You do?
Yes. Yes. It's always funny. Relax a little bit. Hug. Enjoy yourself a little bit more. You're all bunched up.
Quit asking.
Man.
I'm not going to. Quit asking.
You're all bunched
up. I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Gosh. It's like Bo. I can't even roast Bo
Nick
anymore.
Saban. I can't do it.
I could. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Thank you, Paulie, for that.
You're welcome.
Shilty next. Wonder what he did on his off day. Any
he's
guesses?
Fix your little league team. We're going to see what
he
did on his off.
I'm not asking him about that.
You're not going to ask
him? No, I'm not going to ask him about that.
But he's got a detailed plan for you in like 30 seconds.
I'm not going to waste. You can ask him about it. I don't want to waste his time. Oh, my Lord. Can you
imagine?
I don't
know if he was.
All we do is waste his time for 15 minutes every Friday.
It's true. It's funny. I was last week you were out, so I was reading some more stuff about Shilty, and he started with coaching kids. So I wonder if he does have any advice.
We were talking last night about things we wanted to ask Mike Shilt today, and you said, I asked him that last week.
Yeah.
No, I asked him that last week.
Yep.
I missed it all.
Yeah, you did. You were playing golf. It's all right.
Fine. All right. Mike Shilt, Manager's Report, to kick off the final hour of the week of Ben and Woods. That is coming up next. He is, I guarantee you, just taking this game like every other game of the season. 162 of them. It is time to face the White Sox today. We're playing ourselves, not the opponent, etc., etc. Coming up next with Mike Shilt on 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.